Hi, this is Phyllis Cunningham. I meet so many people on a day-to-day basis, and what seems to be at the forefront of their thinking is, how do I find the man or the woman of my dreams? Everyone is wanting to find that beautiful relationship, but somehow it seems to escape us. And then I meet people who are in relationships that they're trying to get out of. So how do we find a balance? How do we really dig in deep and get the love we want? For me, I've gone through many experiences, some that I'm proud of and some that I'm not so proud of. But all of the experiences I've gone through, I've been able to take away certain lessons, and particularly lessons from experiences in relationships. I want you to think a moment on the lessons that you may have learned, having gone through what may have been at the time a very traumatic, painful relationship. Did it make you better or did it make you bitter? Now, if it made you bitter, you know you have some work to do. I spent some time doing a great deal of self-reflection because I'm about being better. And I hope that you are too. And one way that I know that we can get the love we want is by going deep inside and deciding what it is that you truly want. We are so busy. Many of us are so busy trying to find love that, as the old song goes, we look for love in all the wrong places. The first place to look for love is in you. Because if you don't have a wonderful relationship with yourself first, then everything else is going to fall. So I'd like to ask you to take some time. Spend some time in self-reflection. Spend some time figuring out what it is that you truly want in a relationship. And for those of you who are in relationships, spend some time figuring out how to make it better. I recently had a conversation with my good friend, Les Brown. And we spent a great deal of time talking about relationships and talking about my latest book, Played by a Player, Recognizing Love's Counterfeit. One of the reasons I wrote the book is because I had to deal with some pain of my own. And I felt that in dealing with that pain and making myself as authentic as possible, that perhaps, just perhaps, someone else could benefit from the lessons that I've learned and they could avoid making the same mistakes. So Les and I spent time talking about the whole idea of relationships. And right now we're going to give you an opportunity to eavesdrop on that conversation. Please join us.
It's been said that love is a misunderstanding between two fools, an abscess in a man's heart and a hole in his pocket. Hi, this is Les Brown, and we have a special interview with Phyllis Cunningham. She's an author, she's a speaker, she's a counselor, she's a life coach. She's written a book entitled Played by a Player, Recognizing Love's Counterfeit. Hello, my sister. How are you?
Hello, Mr. Les Brown. How are you?
I'm doing better than good and better than most. Now, listen, I'm very curious. First of all, tell us about your background. What do you do professionally?
I am a life coach and a professional speaker.
Okay, now, when you say a life coach, explain to us, what is it that you help people to do in life?
My gift is helping people identify what their purpose is, and figuring out their next steps, just how to get from A to Z in terms of divine mission. Actually, I went to Howard University, and I have a master's degree in fine arts. Yeah. And I know that may seem a long way, the long route home, but I studied art and went overseas and lived in Senegal, West Africa for about 3 years.
What kind of art did you study?
Painting, African art and painting. Mm-hmm. And I went overseas because I discovered at that point that I could write. Mm-hmm. And the way I discovered it is that I wrote a proposal and I won a Fulbright scholarship.
Wow.
And I lived overseas and came home and began to just kind of try to find my own life path. Mm-hmm. And fluttered here and there. See, that was back in the day where I didn't really understand that I have an entrepreneurial spirit. Mm-hmm. And I was never going to work on a job from 9 to 5. Not that anything is wrong with that. Yes. I think that's commendable. My mother did it for 30 years.
Yes.
But that wasn't the life for me. Mm. And so I had to decide, make a decision that, Phyllis, since you're going to work hard, you may as well work for yourself. Mm-hmm. And then the second question I had to ask myself was, what is it that you would do with the rest of your life if you weren't afraid?
Mm. And what was that answer?
Write and speak. It came immediately.
Wow.
Write and speak. And so that's what I do.
And so this is your first book?
This is my first book. It's self-published. And the way I came about writing the book was that I went through a terrible, heartbreaking experience, fell head over heels in love with the wrong person. Mm. How many times have we given our love to the wrong person?
That happens a lot.
It happens a lot.
Yes.
And so after that experience, I had to do some real self-examination because it wasn't about pointing the finger at him. Why did you do this to me? It was about pointing the finger at me and doing some self-examination, which we so often don't want to do.
Yes.
And so I wrote the book because I needed to be authentic. Mm. And I was hoping and praying that through my experience, others could avoid the turmoil and the pain of shame that comes when you make a mistake, especially when you make a mistake in the church.
Okay, what do you mean, like, when you make a mistake?
When you make a mistake and you fall into sexual sin, when you fall into all kinds of relationships that you don't have any business being in.
In the church.
In the church.
Okay. But let's go with played by a player. I want to know, what is your definition of a player?
Well, player is a term that was used back in the day in the early 80s when the rappers started coming out with that new sound of music. Mm-hmm. And it was a term that defined a womanizing man. Mm-hmm. I've taken the term and given it my own definition because a player can be a man or a woman. Mm-hmm. And what is common to a player is that they are selfish, self-centered people that are users. My mother taught me that if you listen long enough to a person, they'll tell you exactly who they are. Mm-hmm. And the person is, their whole world revolves around them. It's all about me. It's what's in it for me. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very self-centered, self-absorbed person. That's one of the key telltale signs.
What are the red flags that would let you know that you're being seduced by a player?
I think what players are very adept at is identifying what your buttons are that you need. See, we all have a love language. Mm-hmm. For example, your love language might be affirmation, or your person's love language could be personal service. If you're with a person and they can identify with your love language, then they have a leg in, because that's what will motivate you toward building a relationship. But if you have a person that can key into what your language is and they want to use that for their own gain, then you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. What happens, that saying that fools rush in, we rush into relationships, especially women. I find some of my women friends have bought into the hype that, you know, your biological clock is ticking and, oh gosh, you got to get a man. And, you know, it's like, get free. Work on being who you are first. Mm. I think that we make the mistake of looking for people to complete us. And if you're not completing yourself and bringing 100% to the relationship, then it's going to fail. Absolutely. So we find partners based on desperation rather than partners who are going to add to our destiny.
Mm. You know, it seems that sexuality and spirituality are at the opposite ends of the spectrum. What are your thoughts on that?
I believe, Les, that sex is sacred. I think that we've perverted it so and used it so that and drug it through the mud so that it's no longer precious. Sex between a man and a woman is a sacred act. So they do marry. Mm-hmm. They do marry. I'm talking about sex and spirituality. Mm-hmm. But so often we leave it out, and so it becomes sex that's carnal rather than sex that's sacred.
You know, when we look at the divorce rate, which many statistics are indicating that's 50%, they're mm-hmm. saying that that the highest divorce rate is in the church. Now, that's perhaps why the Bible says judgment will begin in the church.
Okay. Right, right.
I want to know, do people divorce after they get saved when they get in church or before they get saved? I mean, what are the statistics on that? Have they really identified and zeroed in on that?
You know, I think, yes, and I've heard the statistics of being 60% and even as high as 70%. But I think that it goes back to, again, people marry based on desperation and not necessarily based on destiny. And so
I want you to define that.
I'm going to define it. So we look for people to complete us. And whenever that happens, you're always going to be disappointed. Because if you're not complete in yourself, if you're not satisfied with who you are, when you look in the mirror, if you can't see your reflection and the reflection of God in you, then you don't have much to bring to the table. And so rather than try to develop a relationship with another person to complete yourself, you really need to develop a relationship with you.
Mm. I heard a poem that said, "Those who go searching for love only make manifest their own lovelessness. And the loveless never find love, only the loving, and they never have to search for it."
Oh, that's beautiful.
So
I
what you're
love
saying,
that.
You got to have a relationship with yourself.
With you. You've got to love you. Mm. Because if you don't love you, you have no love to give to anyone else. So it starts with you. What happens is we're all dealing with what I call the pain of shame. And that is to say that somebody hurt you. Somebody told you you weren't good enough. Someone said that you were too dark. Someone said that you were too dark, too light, too short, too fat, too skinny. Someone shamed you.
Mm-hmm.
And you take that pain.
Internalize it.
And internalize it. And all through your relationships, you're trying to find someone to heal that pain.
Mm-hmm.
And no one can heal it except for your higher power. But we don't want to turn internally and deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to deal with our pain and our shame. And so we carry it from relationship to relationship. It's likened to never allowing yourself to rest and let your body replenish itself. The same thing happens in our emotions. The same thing happens in our spiritual body.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to allow yourself time to replenish, time to reflect, time to heal.
Mm. I want to go to the book now, Played by a Player, Recognizing Love's Counterfeit.
Yes.
I want to go to this first chapter, All That Glitters Ain't Gold.
That is so true.
Talk to us
All about that. That glitters ain't gold. The package may be beautiful.
Uh-huh.
He may be fine as he can be, but unless you have something on the inside, you ain't got nothing.
Mm.
And so you can judge a book by the cover if you want to, but I'm saying look a little deeper. Look a little deeper. Take time.
Mm-hmm.
Take time to get to know the person. Take time to figure out what his or her likes and dislikes are. Take time to understand what their values are. Mm-hmm. Don't just go for the package.
Mm.
You got to look at the whole product.
You say that many times people don't take the time to do that.
Absolutely. They don't. They don't, because we become so enamored with the package. The package looks good. Oh, he's fine. He can speak well. He's dressed to the nine. She's gorgeous. Look at that. Wow.
And it's not all about that.
And we miss the real deal because that person can be in such pain that they don't know how to love you.
And it doesn't matter how gorgeous they are or how educated they are.
Doesn't matter.
Craziness comes in all kinds of packages.
That's right. Camouflaged.
Oh, I know.
Looking like pure gold.
That is true. And the other thing is, there's some folks that, oh, you know, I'll never forget when I was married to Gladys, that you guys were the ideal couple. You know, you look so perfect and so good together. And I've heard people others say that to other couples. I've done that too.
Mm-hmm.
But you really don't know nobody until you go behind closed doors. It's one thing what they see publicly, but once they go behind closed doors, I ain't talking about me now, but I'm talking about other people.
Right. I understand.
Okay. Because I know that trade, nobody ain't going to be talking about nobody. But you really don't know a person. I have seen people who were one way in the public.
Absolutely.
But when you got them behind closed doors, they were totally different. Have you ever seen that before?
Of course I have. I've seen Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
I've seen that before.
When they were nice, you couldn't remember when they were mean. Mm-hmm. And when they were mean, you couldn't remember when
they
were
nice. But I wrote the book because it bothered me so much to see people in such deep pain. And I really, really wanted to tell my story and just come clean and not just sit up in church and play church, but just be real about relationships.
Okay, but let's go beyond the church. You know,
okay.
Everybody said this. This sounds cute, but I think even in its simplicity, it is profound. The saying that some people come into your life for a reason. Some come for a season, some short seasons too.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Real short.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Today I was talking to a lady the other day and she said she was divorced. I said, I'm so sorry. She said, oh, don't you go there and be sorry, honey. You celebrate for me, all right? People even having divorce parties and all that. But a reason, a season, and a lifetime.
Yes.